The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Jonathan Healy in for Pat Kenny on this Friday morning. If you've little people in your life, it's not uncommon for them to pick up swear words, whether it's in the schoolyard or down the road. Kids blurt out curses. It's quite common. Who do they get it off? What are some of the words, though, that they've picked up are on the more offensive side? On the line now, Isolde White, who is a psychotherapist and author. Isolde, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. I swear like a trooper when I'm not sitting in a radio studio, which is a terrible thing. And I have to say, when my kids started swearing back at me, I did feel bad.
And was that when you stopped swearing so much in front of them?
Now they're older, I've loosened up a little bit. But when they were small, I had to watch my P's and Q's.
But that's it. You do have to watch it because they're like little parrots. They're like little mimics. And they're learning language and they're integrating language. And they have no sense of what those words mean. They just hear you use them as like a word or a phrase for a strong exclamation. And when they're in that position, then they will do it. And I mean, I myself have to clean up my language after I had my first daughter. And I wouldn't have even said I use swear words a lot because I lived in America for years and it's just kind of considered, you know, the way we curse in this country is just considered really ugly and bad manners in America. So I had lost the habits of swearing, but I still obviously was making a few of them because when my daughter did repeat one or two and I was, oh my God, I need to clean this up.
Is that what I sound like as you heard your child curse back? But when we look at all the challenges that are there, I mean, kids are just going to pick up on what's in their environment. And if their parents are stressed, then they're going to pick up on that and they're going to see that. And are they adopting it as a bit of a coping mechanism?
I think they're really just adopting it as a form of expression. So they're going to learn how to express their own feelings or mimic, you know, when they see you having that feeling, maybe offer you the words that you have used for that feeling. So, for instance, with my daughter, where I learned about it was... And she had a speech delay, but we were in the car one day and I had to put the brake on a little bit suddenly. And she said, oh, duck and diss. And so I was like, oh, my God, that must be what I'm doing when I'm driving. That's appalling. So I have to change. But she had associated it with, you know, something happening in the car. This is what mom says. Way to go. Right. So it's really that straightforward, I think. And then they're using it to express whatever feeling is going on for them there or whatever feeling they're seeing going on for you.
It must be very confusing for small children when parents turn around and give out to them for something that they've heard mammy or daddy say before and all of a sudden now they're being given out to for saying the same thing.
It is very confusing. And if that happens, you need to own the fact, listen, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have said those things. I'm cleaning up my act and I want you to clean up your act, basically, like at whatever age appropriate level you need it to be. But yeah, I think it's really unfair to pull children up on behaviours that you yourself do.
How much do they have to learn about the environment in which language can be used? And what I mean by that is like, an adult will obviously they'll never swear in church, but they will know that when they're amongst friends that swear words can slip in and it's fine. I mean, children have to learn as well that if they do swear, the context is important.
Yeah, and they kind of learn that naturally. We're very social creatures and part of the development of the human is developing those sort of social understandings. And so maybe with children, you know, with an intellectual disability or maybe with neurodiversity, it can be a little harder to understand some of those social contexts. But you see children learning social contexts very quickly and they understand the difference between being in class, the difference between in the yard, the difference with playing with a couple of friends as opposed to being at a party. So they understand those social contexts quite quickly. And yeah, you need to give them a bit of guidance and, you know, like, well, when we go to see granny, you know, maybe we'll, you know, be a little bit politer than normal, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not sure if in today's world, that kind of formality still exists. But, you know, there'll be an expectation that for certain events, you dress a certain way and you behave a certain way.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain words as well that are designed to be offensive. The N word being a classic example of that, and I've seen that with my children over time. That you know that there is a certain value put on that word. It's not a positive value, but there's a value there, as if that's the one of the worst that they can say. But it's still one that they're exposed to probably quite early, and worse for the child if they are a person of colour.
Absolutely. And I mean, that there are some things that, we have to really work with our children to say, yeah, this is just not acceptable, and give them the reasons why. But then we also have to allow for kids to be able to, you know, say a kid is growing up in a mostly white environment and they see a black person, they will comment. A small kid will comment, but you have to allow them to be able to comment without it becoming an othering thing, right?
Mm.
So yeah. But the N-word is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I suppose maybe kids do. And, you know, you do have rap songs where the actual rap artists themselves use it in their own rapping, which is totally fine. But then that I suppose, could lead to some confusion for a younger person listening to that song. And you'd have to really just explain that there is just cannot use it unless it's your culture.
We've all been the parent in the car when Spotify decides to go, do you know what we're going to do now? That was a lovely song by Billie Eilish, but we're going to move on to something that has a lot of swearing and a lot of words that you can't use yourself. And sometimes the button just doesn't work to move the song on fast enough. That's my experience. And the other side of this is how the internet has made swearing children cool. I mean, everybody will have seen the Instagram video of a little girl looking out the window saying, there's an effing goat outside. And the mother says, it's just a goat. And Charlie goes, no, it's an effing goat. And she clearly picked that up from the mother, and that's why it's funny. But has that kind of normalised a lot of this?
I don't know if it has. I'm not sure that it has. And I think, you know, I think those are funny. And we certainly intuitively know that the kid picked it up from the mom, and the mom is kind of laughing at herself putting it up. But I mean, I think you can't just take internet culture. I think you have to also take general popular culture, what kids are exposed to on television shows, in songs. I mean, in videos, the level of sexualization in videos, you know, they're exposed to all of these things from a very early age. And I think it's very difficult to prevent them seeing some of these things, because even in the popular culture, that isn't something that would be rated as such. You know, some music videos are highly sexualized.
Yeah.
And then they're hearing the words of the songs, and how are they to discriminate for themselves as to what they can use where and what's acceptable acceptable.
And let's also accept the reality that it's not just the music videos they're watching, they're seeing far worse as well on smartphones, often in the school playground. Just to finish
Absolutely.
Up, isn't swearing great though? I mean, there is a catharsis that comes from swearing. If you're in the middle of a situation. This morning, I had a fight with Microsoft Teams, right? I'm not a fan of Microsoft Teams. It doesn't like me. I don't like it. And then it decided, well, I'm not going to work on your computer anymore. And I did swear quite loudly in front of my startled colleagues on the Pat Kenny Show. And I felt much better for that. It didn't solve the problem on the computer, but it does. I mean, there's a certain amount of catharsis with swearing.
Absolutely is, and it's a fundamentally Irish thing. And I want to say I 100% endorse your swearing at Microsoft Teams. I'm totally on board with that.
Good, I'm delighted. Beware of the new iOS update; it doesn't like it. But anyway, carry on.
And the other one that I will swear at is when Zoom suddenly decides it needs a software update just as you've tried to log on to the meeting at exactly the time of the meeting.
So I think what we've established now is the exact parameters where you can swear when your Teams or your Zoom doesn't work. Outside of that, don't swear in front of your kids. Isabel, I feel that I've learned a lot from this conversation this morning. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Jonathan.
I mean, I just know from my own children the challenges that exist when they do swear. But I'd love to know what you think. If there are parents listening right now, whatever about saying the curse words, dropping the odd F-bomb or whatever the case may be, those more serious words, like the N-word, those gay slurs that children are... I think this generation have a very different approach. So they realise... in a way that perhaps we didn't when we were younger, how offensive they are and how terrible they are. And they add a lot more, and I'm going to say the word value, but you know, a lot more significance to those words than perhaps we would have done
in a less enlightened time. But let us know what you think.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.